Comcast has consistently ranked as the worst company in America, a gigantic, colossal internet and cable provider with over 186,000 employees. People hate this company, but a lot of time, Comcast is the only cable or internet option they have. Yet now, it feels like some justice has come. Comcast is burdened with mountains of debt, almost $100 billion. They had massive plans to expand and dominate a new market, but things didn't go as expected. Now, they're struggling to manage their debt, but also stay on top of their core business, internet. This is Comcast's $90 billion debt crisis, and most of it can be traced back to one man. First, I think it's important to paint a picture of what Comcast is like. If you live in the US, you probably know, but if you don't, you might think, what's the big deal? Well, let's start with one critical example. In 2014, one customer named Ryan Block called Comcast to cancel his plan, and he was met with this.
We'd like to disconnect, please.
Okay, so why is it that you don't want the faster speed? Help me understand why you don't want faster internet.
You literally just a moment ago said that you would go ahead and disconnect our service, and that's what we're gonna need to do. So can you go ahead and do that now?
I'm working on that process.
Okay, great. Okay. How much longer is that process gonna take?
I'm asking some questions.
Ryan was on call for almost 20 minutes trying to cancel his internet plan, but the customer retention specialist wasn't having it and became aggressive with Ryan. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Almost 20 minutes of arguing is one thing, but this is something else entirely.
105 megabits per second for your internet. Astound will not give you that speed.
Okay, we'd like to disconnect. We'd like to disconnect, please.
Okay, so why is it that you don't want the faster speed? Help me understand why you don't want faster internet.
Okay, you can. The way that you can help me right now.
Finding answers by doing all this.
The way that you can help me is by disconnecting our service. That's how you can.
But how is that helping you though?
Because that's what I want.
Explain to me how that's helping.
That's what I want.
Okay, so why is that what you want?
Because that's what I want.
Another customer posted a call where Comcast promised not to charge him for a technician visit, but then charged him anyway. And when he tried to complain to Comcast to drop the $182 charge, they said they couldn't undo the charges until he played them a recording of their previous call.
But since I advised the manager that there is a recording and you are misinformed, then she's the one who can approve that $82.
Okay, number one, as I explained to you, it was not a valid charge. And number two, you're telling me that if I didn't have a recording of that call, you wouldn't have been able to do it. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
Awesome. Good thing I'm recording this call too.
Comcast consistently tries to play dumb with their own customers, and the only way to hold them accountable is to record the call. Yet, some stories from Comcast are just odd. Another customer called to cancel cable while under financial strain, yet customer representatives escalated things and tried to persuade her to keep the cable service and sign a new 2-year contract. Yet, the strangest part came in their next bill. Their name was changed to A-hole on their official billing. This might seem like cherry picking, but it really isn't. Comcast is known for this type of behavior. Comcast is statistically one of the most hated corporations in America. On Trustpilot, Comcast has a score of 1.1 out of 5 from over 3,500 reviews. The American Customer Satisfaction Index ranked Comcast the worst in America in 2004, then again in 2007, then second worst in 2014, only behind Time Warner Cable. That's across all industries and all companies and government organizations. People hate Comcast more than the IRS. Think about that. Why are cable companies, and in particular Comcast, so egregious? Well, for much of the 90s, 2000s, and 2010s, Comcast has been running a de facto monopoly. Many areas of the US don't have dense populations, but still need internet or cable, but both of those require dense infrastructure, which is costly. So it's not uncommon for many areas to only have one provider, Comcast. With no competition, they can charge customers whatever they want and treat them however they want. Comcast has even lobbied against cities trying to build broadband networks, which would increase competition and improve the quality of life of their customers. But there's also something else. there are clues that these terrible experiences are by design. All of this brings us back to one man, the person who ruled Comcast with an iron fist for 35 years and is responsible for their mountain of debt and current challenges. In 1990, a new president was appointed at Comcast, Brian L. Roberts. When he took over, Comcast was making $650 million in revenue, but by 2017, Robert would grow this to $85 billion. And it wasn't just through cable and broadband. Roberts would transform Comcast into something else entirely. Comcast would transform from a content provider to a content creator. In 2011, Comcast acquired NBC Universal for $16.7 billion, and over time, their collection of media brands expanded into a long, long list of brands. Universal, CNBC, DreamWorks, Illumination, Bravo, and many more. Why? Comcast's home industry was beginning to wane. They were cable TV providers, and people were canceling cable plans in favor of much cheaper and flexible streaming plans. Robert saw this future and was trying to change Comcast, and to his credit, he began this change early. This meant new markets and new revenue, not just in movies, but TV shows, sports, news networks, theme parks, and the real moneymaker, merchandise. This also meant new opponents, and one in particular terrified Roberts, Disney. You see, at this time, while Comcast was beginning to move into the world of entertainment, Disney was tightening its grip. They had begun buying all kinds of brands themselves. Pixar in 2006, Marvel Entertainment in 2009, Lucasfilm, aka Star Wars in 2012, and their next move would be their biggest, 21st Century Fox. Disney already had a lot of brands, but this was different. It would make them the king of entertainment. This was a gigantic collection of films, TV shows, and IPs. The Simpsons, Alien, X-Men, National Geographic, X-Files, Avatar, Planet of the Apes, the list goes on and on and on. This would improve Disney's lineup, giving them more content to offer on their new streaming platform, Disney+, besides Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, and the Disney films. More mature, adult-centered content, which they were lacking. Not only that, it would give them Star India, a network with hundreds of millions of viewers across Asia that has massive networks in TV and sports like cricket. This would make Disney a juggernaut. Ironically, Comcast, the monopoly of cable and broadband, was afraid of another monopoly. So, what happened? In December 2017, Disney secured a deal to buy 21st Century Fox for $52.4 billion. Things were moving along smoothly, expected to close by summer 2019. Then, Comcast entered the scene. In May 2018, Comcast prepared to challenge Disney's bid for 21st Century Fox, financing $60 billion, much more than Disney's offer. Then, they made a formal offer to 21st Century Fox, except now, it was $65 billion. Then, Disney amended its original deal, upping to $71.3 billion, or nearly $20 billion more than their original offer. Comcast folded as they couldn't keep up with the bidding war. In the aftermath, Brian Roberts said, "I'd like to congratulate Bob Iger and the team at Disney and commend the Murdoch family and Fox for creating such a desirable and respected company." Comcast had lost, yet there was another part to the story. In the immediate aftermath, Comcast bid against Fox and, by extension, Disney for control of another major asset, Sky. Sky is a gigantic British broadcasting network with tens of millions of customers in Europe and Oceania. Sky didn't have as many IPs in film or TV, but their big prize was sports, cricket, Formula One, and the biggest of all, the Premier League. The final sale price was $39 billion, over $3 billion more than Fox's offer. Comcast lost the war for Fox against Disney, but they did come out with something. Their network was now much stronger, though things didn't quite play out as Comcast expected. Comcast knew the future wasn't in cable, so they were trying to build their own streaming service, Peacock. Fox had many, many IPs that would have given Peacock a huge edge in the market, but that didn't happen. Losing the bidding war, Comcast bought Sky instead, a very different purchase to Fox. an old traditional broadcasting company. A massive one, to be fair, but this brought a new problem for Comcast. Over the next few years, Sky began to stumble. In 2022, they reported an operating loss of £111 million after their revenue of £10 billion remained flat. The next year, Sky lost £224 million and cut 1,000 jobs, or about 4% of their staff. At the end of the day, Sky is a broadcasting company after all. Even if they had great rights to sports, much of their business was satellite TV, and much of their revenue came from advertising. To make matters worse, Comcast had taken on a lot of debt to purchase Sky. At the end of 2018, their total debt jumped to $111 billion. And Sky wasn't the only thing going wrong for Comcast. In Q4 of 2024, Comcast executives warned of a coming drop in subscribers. They expected 100,000 to leave, but in reality, it was about 140,000, and 8,000 of them were expected to be high-paying business subscribers. Also, these weren't cable TV subscribers, they were broadband customers, meaning something was very wrong. After the subscriber exodus, Comcast share price dropped by 11%. They've been seeing subscriber drops in the past quarters too. In the past year, their total value has dropped by almost 30%. Why? Well, at this time, Florida was hit by Hurricanes Milton and Helene. But technically, that only accounted for 10,000. In reality, most of the losses are actually from competition. Comcast has had a monopoly for decades, but the industry is changing. Companies like Verizon and T-Mobile are carving out Comcast market share, but not with broadband, with fixed wireless access, or FWA. It's like wireless service, but for fixed permanent locations like homes and businesses. In Q4 2024, T-Mobile added 428,000 subscribers to this network, increasing the total to 6.4 million. In the same period, Verizon also added 373,000 new subscribers to FWA. When you compare traditional broadband to FWA, it's easy to see why people would switch. Broadband is a pain to install and requires a Comcast technician most of the time, but FWA, you can plug in yourself. Not only that, the pricing is usually much cheaper and more flexible. And with how strong wireless networks are getting, if you don't have access to fiber, it's a pretty good option. With the customer calls you heard at the start, it's no wonder why people would want to switch to T-Mobile or anyone other than Comcast, America's worst company. Now, I will note, broadband will never die, or at least not anytime soon, as it comes with far faster speeds like fiber and is more stable. But things are changing. The places where customers had no other option now have more options, or rather, the option to not choose Comcast. Their debt had ballooned for an asset that was dwindling, and their core business was stagnant, if not dying. And that brings us back to the man behind all of this. Brian L. Roberts took over the role of president from Ralph J. Roberts. If that name looks familiar, it's because Ralph is Brian's father and the founder of Comcast. That doesn't sound too abnormal, but let's look a bit closer. Roberts owns about 1% of Class A Comcast shares, but he also owns 100% of Class B shares. Why does that matter? Well, let's take a look at their voting securities document. The shares of Class B common stock beneficially owned by Mr. Brian L. Roberts represent 33 1/3% of the combined voting power of the two classes of our voting common stock, which percentage is generally non-dilutable pursuant to the terms of our articles of incorporation. AKA, Roberts has 33.3% voting power over the company despite only owning 1% of the stock. Brian Roberts isn't an appointed CEO. He inherited control. Comcast is a family-run business. He has had an extreme level of control to do whatever he wants, and I think this is a good time to revisit their customer service everyone is so fond of. Do you remember the first customer call? Well, Roberts said he was embarrassed when he heard the call. It was a teachable moment for employees, and it was a teachable moment for all of us, he said. We get 250 million phone calls a year. The nature of our business is that we're going to have these things. While that's true, when we dig a bit deeper, we see what's really happening. Customer service reps get paid a low amount, but depending on how many customers stay, they get a bit more. For this, Comcast uses gates. If 85% of a rep's customers stay, they get their full payout. At 80%, you might only get 75% of your payout, and at 75%, you might only get your base. About 20% of reps' pay comes from this. One past employee said, customer service reps watch these numbers daily and will fight tooth and nail to stay above the I get nothing number. The man in the recording went too far. You're not supposed to flat out argue with them, but Comcast literally provides an incentive for this kind of behavior. Comcast said they would investigate this one case and take quick action, but a former retention agent revealed that they were told by regional management that he was just a little too aggressive, but what a job he did in trying to save the customer. He was not fired for that. Of course, this is anonymous, so take it with a grain of salt, but it certainly sounds plausible. Is Comcast gonna go bankrupt? No, but they are in a difficult spot. Their revenue has been essentially flat. Stable, sure, but their efforts to grow have backfired. Keep in mind, despite their stable income, they've been carrying massive debt for a long time since 2018, and it hasn't gone down much at all, removing less than a tenth of it in over 7 years. To make matters worse, the reason for all of this was a bad investment. Yet, not only is Comcast's media empire struggling, so is their core business. Customers are moving to better, more flexible plans. Comcast feels like a relic, a time with terrible internet plans and awful cable with no other options. Thankfully, that's changing. AT&T also tried to get into the media business, and it backfired even worse. Check out this video to learn more, but until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.